Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Wiest and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today I want to share with you the people I saw in hell. But first, I want to point out that most people in the world today believe that there is no one in hell.
That is so true, Bill. You know, and this is because they don't believe hell is real, or they think they are pretty good people, so they'll go to heaven, or they simply reject the Bible and what it says.
Right.
But with their rejection of God's truth and his warnings, they send themselves to hell.
That's so true. You know, Jesus disproves the world's belief that no one is in hell in Matthew 7, 13, and 14. He said, "Many are on the broad road that leads to destruction, and few are on the narrow road which leads to life." And so he's saying, most are going to hell, and few are going to heaven. And it's interesting, in a 2015 Barna poll, it showed that less than one half of 1% of Americans believe they will go to hell.
That's a sobering statistic, and so is that verse.
Right.
Quite sobering. You know, Bill, and many others who claim to be Christians promote and believe in the false teaching of annihilationism, or the belief that people simply cease to exist when they die if they deny Jesus Christ. So they also believe that there is no one, no people, tormented in hell.
Right, which is completely against the scriptures. Just to give a few, Jesus said in Matthew 25:41, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." He's talking about the group that had no signs showing that they were saved. They were the unsaved people. Matthew 25:46, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, and the righteous into everlasting life." So again, two groups of people, and one is going to everlasting punishment. Matthew 13:49, "The angels shall sever the wicked from the just, and cast the wicked into a furnace of fire, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Revelation 14:10-11 says, "They shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the Lamb, and in the presence of holy angels, and the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night." So obviously, they still exist. They're before the God, the angels, and they have no rest day nor night. Revelation 21:8 points out all liars and the fearful and the unbelievers and the murderers and idolaters shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. So you can see that's just a few scriptures. There's so many that prove there's people in hell burning. You know, lastly, you know, there are others who promote and believe another false teaching called universalism, or that all roads lead to heaven, or the belief that eventually everyone gets saved and goes to heaven. Well, this again would support the lie of no people in hell. And we've done videos on that before, teachings on universalism, refuting universalism.
Yes, that's true.
That people can watch. So we give many scriptures there. You know, but in the vision God gave me of hell, I actually saw hundreds of people burning in this enormous pit. Now, it was filled with fire, literal fire, and the pit, I understood, was about a mile across. Now, the people I observed in hell looked like skeletons. They were nameless and faceless. You know, I could not distinguish a man from a woman, and it appeared like there was like flesh hanging from their bones.
That sounds like a horrific sight, Bill.
It was.
I mean, just to see flesh hanging from someone's bones and they're like a skeleton screaming and on fire.
Right.
That's just really hard to even, you know, want to even dwell on that. But
right.
We know it is true. The scriptures tell us so. You know, but so, Bill, when you were looking at these people, you didn't know anything about them, right? You didn't know anything about their identity, their history, their politics, or skin color, or anything about them, right?
No, you couldn't distinguish, like I said, a man from a woman. You're just a skeleton form.
And you couldn't tell if it was somebody famous or from a beggar on the street, right?
No, you wouldn't know the difference. Nobody has any identity there. You're a nothing and a nobody. Your name's covered in darkness. Ecclesiastes 9:10 and Ecclesiastes 6:4, many other verses point this out. So, no, you have no identity whatsoever. And no matter who they were, It didn't matter. Each of them was truly alone, you know, and they were amidst a sea of tormented souls. It was horrible to see this many people burning and in torment. You know, they have no purpose, no identity. They're forgotten in hell, and they are kept at a distance from each other, so there was no conversation or fellowship. Even though all those people are in the pit together, they're all kept at a distance. You know, everyone is screaming, and it's deafening. You want to be able to escape the loud screams, you know, as it's so tormenting and grating on your mind to hear all this loud, agonizing screams, but you will never escape it.
Bill, could you tell if there were children, or did you see any children there?
I could see the outlines of people through the flames, and from the outlines, I saw that there seemed to be fully grown or adult in size, the skeleton size. So in addition, the screams I heard were not the screams of children. They were mature voices. So I will say that I also had an impression and unexplainable internal feeling that there were no children in hell.
And, you know, there are scriptures for this as well, right?
Right, right. I believe the scripture is clear that there are no children in hell. Jesus said in Matthew 19:14, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of heaven." And then he said in Matthew 18:3, "Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." And there's about 6 or 7 other verses that he pointed that out. So I believe the scripture is clear. There are no little children.
That's a key right there, little
right.
Children.
Below the level, the age of accountability.
Yes.
No one knows what that is exactly, but there are a few hints in the Bible that it could be as low as 8 years old or so. But
yeah, 7 or 8, that yeah. One scripture in Isaiah, I think, talks about when they know right from wrong.
Right, they know to do good from evil, right from wrong. It doesn't say 7 or 8 there, but another place talks about one of the kings that did evil, he did evil at the age of 8, and another king did that which was good at the age of 8.
Oh, interesting.
So it gives
okay.
you a little clue, but some say 13, and there's no way to know for sure, and it's different for everybody.
Sure, exactly.
But little children
are
not there because they are not accountable yet.
Yeah, that totally makes sense, and that would be our good, merciful God. You know, Bill, also, you know, what was your body like while you were in hell? I know you were in the spirit realm, you're in your spirit body, but what was it like while you were actually there?
Well, it appeared to look just like I do now, even though it was a spirit body. You know, Jesus mentions the rich man in hell in Luke 16. Now, he had a mouth to speak, he had eyes to lift, he had a tongue that was desperate for just one drop of water to cool his tongue. So there is some kind of body in hell that is similar to our physical body here on the earth. Now, it may be only a spirit body, but it greatly resembles our current body. I mean, it looked like I do now. So, you know, Matthew 10:28 says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So this, again, shows a person has a body in hell. Isaiah 14:9-10 and Ezekiel 32:21 reveals a person actually speaking in hell. So this would be the same as Luke 16 about the rich man speaking. So to speak requires a body. Ezekiel 32 mentions that those who have gone down to the pit to hell have graves set in the sides of the pit. Well, this would also indicate that a grave requires there to be a body. It also states that their sin remains upon their bones. Well, that's indicating, you know, bones would need a body.
That makes sense, yeah.
Just a few clues, you know.
Exactly. You know, Bill, also, are there others who have claimed to see hell? You know, what did they see? I know there are others that have.
Right, many others. But one in the Bible is Jonah. You know, in Jonah 2:2, he said, "Out of the belly of hell cried I." And he used the word Sheol there. So a lot of the commentaries, the Tyndale, the New International, many others say that Jonah himself was at the gates of hell. And that it was literal bars and gates. Jonah 2:6, Jonah said, "The earth with her bars was about me forever." So Jonah is somebody. But there are also many who claim to have had a similar experience as myself, and many have written books about their experience. Now, many are near-death experiences or clinical death experiences or visions or dreams. and many are very credible and scriptural. Now, of course, there's some that are not, but and also you got some that mention specific people they saw in hell. Some say they saw children. Some say they encountered celebrities. Some also share that they observed Christians who didn't tithe or women who wore jewelry or colored their hair. And well, I saw none of this. And some of these claims would not be true because of the disagreement with Scripture. People go to hell only because they reject the saving name of Jesus Christ. It is not because they didn't tithe or wore jewelry or makeup or any other type of clothing. These outward acts are not the reason people go to hell. And seeing children also seems to disagree with the Scripture. You know, as for some recognizing others, I suppose if God allowed it for them, it could be possible. But anyway, there's many credible books of people that actually have seen hell. I'm not the only one.
No, I know that. That's true. Exactly. And you're right. You know, there could be, God could have allowed some to maybe recognize somebody or someone in their past they knew, or, you know, that's something the Lord could have done,
right?
You know, with some of those examples. But you're absolutely right. Nobody's in hell for, you know, not coloring their hair, wearing jewelry and so forth. I mean, it's,
right,
those are crazy false errors and
right,
beliefs that are out there.
Exactly.
You know, so Bill, and you know, the people you saw in hell then, it's just, they weren't recognizable. There was no one there that you knew.
No.
Obviously. And you couldn't distinguish, like you said, a man from a woman. I mean, that's
right. So
it's
you're alone, you're isolated, you're by yourself. No one knows who you are. It wouldn't matter, like I said, if you're famous. No one on the earth is giving you a thought. You're forgotten in hell. So you're just isolated and all by yourself for all eternity.
Did you ever see people that looked any different than that skeleton form, or, you know, with the flesh hanging off their bones? Did you see anything resembling even more of a person? No.
Not at all. Just like skeleton with flesh hanging from their bones, screaming. I remember the scream so vividly. It was so loud to hear literally thousands of people. I mean, I don't know how many people are in that pit, probably thousands, and we know there's millions of people in hell.
Yeah, and you just, your vision could see only so far because of the darkness and the, right?
Right, I could only see through the flames, just slightly through these flames to see the people in this big pit. But the light in hell does not travel. It is so, so dark in hell. Darkness that you really have a hard time describing. You could feel it.
Oh, that's horrible. You know, Bill, I'm thinking about this now. Why don't you share your relating the Twin Towers incident with this? I mean, I remember you speaking about that sometimes when you share about 23
right,
minutes in hell.
Yeah, I'm reminded of the devastation of the Twin Towers, you know, the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001. You know, when some people, rather than facing the 2,000-degree heat, chose to plummet to their death by leaping out of a window. Those people chose to make that leap rather than face the intensity of those flames for even 15 seconds. In hell, which is deep down in the earth, according to the scriptures, the scientists say it's 12,000 degrees. And this isn't just for 15 seconds, but for all eternity. So try to imagine this state of existence and fear that never ceases for even 1 second, and there is no way to escape it. You know, to witness people in terror, in desperation, and in unending torment was more than I could bear.
You know, Bill, the questions we receive about, you know, who you saw in hell are so much less important than how these tormented souls ended up there.
Right. You know, it's sad because God tries to get a hold of everybody throughout their whole life. You know, he sends laborers across their path. There's Bibles everywhere. There's churches on every corner. He has missionaries sent to people. There are CDs, DVDs, radio, television broadcasts. He's constantly trying to get the gospel across to people.
And creation is screaming that there's a God.
Right. It's obvious in creation. When you look out at design of the universe, there's design everywhere in the plant life, in the animal kingdom, in the stars and planets, and everything's orderly, and our human body and a baby being born. All these things indicate design. That points to a designer. So God says he holds man accountable just because of that alone. Because if man would be humble enough to admit and say, who made all this? There had to be a God, because this is design. That takes a designer. And so if a person would just say that humility, and say, "Who are you, God?" God will find a way to get through to them by sending a person across their path or getting him a Bible or a missionary. There's even a scripture in Job 33 where he says he'll even give man dreams and visions to keep back his soul from the pit. So he's trying desperately to keep people out of hell their entire lives.
And he does that a lot with dreams and visions, especially I've heard that in people in the Middle East who've
right.
seen Jesus in dreams and they got saved. And so right. it does just take a humble heart. And then there's that scripture in Ecclesiastes where it says he puts eternity in man's heart.
Right.
So exactly. we know we're going to live forever, even though people want to deny it and say they don't believe it. There's something God put inside of us to know there's more than this shell right. or body that we're living in.
He's given man a conscience to know right from wrong, good from evil. Romans 2:15 and John 8:9 explain that. So our own conscience tells us there's a God that made us. And so man rejects all of that his entire life. And Jesus clearly tells us how to stay out of hell. You know, and Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." He said he was the only way to heaven. And then he said in Luke 13:3, that unless a man repent, you shall all likewise perish. So he told us clearly, man has to repent of his sins, admit that he's a sinner, and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then we will go to heaven. That's the only way to escape hell. And he makes it clear in the scripture. But people say, "You know, I don't believe that. I don't believe Jesus is the only way." Well, there's a verse then for them. Revelation 21:8 says, "All unbelievers shall have their part in the lake of fire." So there's the warning. He just told you, if you don't believe Jesus is the only way, you have your part in the lake of fire. That's why you can see why Jesus said in Matthew 12:37, "Your own words will condemn you." Because people say, "I don't believe Jesus is the only way." They send themselves to hell by the rejection of the provision for their sins, which is Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.